Ryan started to pull pins with his teeth. When the others let their grip safeties plink off, he followed suit. He had three grens in either hand, fuses burning, when the hallway lights dimmed, and then went out. Dr. Huth stood on the edge of the catwalk with his fingers crossed. Unscientific or not, he needed all the help he could get. He would have sacrificed a live goat to Beelzebub, if such a creature had still existed. The whole operation was a house of cards. The intricate, global power interlacings had to hold long enough to establish the passageway. Then he needed a really big surge to kick open the door to Shadow World. The second hand of the big clock on the wall behind him swept past the 12. It was 5:38 a.m. Right on schedule, the vast room was jolted by a violent shudder. One of the technicians working the operating system monitors along the wall behind him counted down.
Blackout in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Huth gripped the catwalk rail as night fell and a hurricane was born. Gale force wind plucked at his lab coat, and he had to hold on with both hands. 10, over the howl of the wind, 9, another technician was screaming 8, out more numbers, 7, counting down the time 6, until the complex's battery backup 5, power kicked in.
4,
light
3,
returned to the grim, low-ceilinged
2,
chamber.
1.
And as it did, the room was rocked by a tremendous explosion. Concrete dust rained on him. Right away, Huff knew it wasn't the thunder of the passage opening. It came from the hallway behind him. More explosions, and a blinding white light flashed through the window of the bulkhead door. For a sickening instant, the catwalk teetered, and the vibration through the rails was so violent that it made his hands go numb. First thing he thought was that it had to be one of the globals trying to seize control of the passageway. The second thing he thought was that he had to get to the door. Bar the door. Huff dashed across the catwalk. When he looked out the scorched glass of the bulkhead door, he saw the one-eyed man charging at him. Cursing his numbed fingers, he fumbled with the lock. Ryan didn't wait to toss the grens, and neither did the others. With 6-second fuses burning, to hesitate was to die. Ryan took a step out into the pitch-black hall and chucked his grens at the far end. 24 grenades landed among the sec men guarding the bulkhead door. They heard the clunks on the floor and felt impacts against their armor as the grens hit and bounced off. By the time the lights came up 2 seconds later, and they saw what lay all around them, it was too late. The first explosion was really a dozen grens popping off at once. It dropped the hallway ceiling, blew out the walls, and blew the sec men through the walls and the ceiling. The explosions that came after that were pure overkill. They propelled already flying bodies farther down the hall.
They're powering up the passageway! Let's go!
Ryan charged out ahead of her. Through the plaster dust, he could see a head on the other side of the door's window. He threw himself against the barrier, and it gave, slamming back. The man behind it went flying. Ryan didn't give him a second look. He held the door open as Nara and Dam ran past. Thrill Bill had to have slipped on a body because he was still halfway down the hall.
Go on! Go on!
He dashed toward Ryan. The one-eyed man gave the warlord covering fire, but it was impossible to control the whole corridor. From the opposite end of the hallway, green flashed. Thrillbill screamed, and a blast of light sizzled past Ryan's hip, narrowly missing him. Thrillbill crashed down, just outside the doorway. Ryan grabbed him by the shirt.
Come on, stand up.
Can't do it. My legs.
When Ryan pulled him through the doorway, he saw the terrible injuries. Thrillbill moved, but his right leg didn't. It was severed at the hip. His other leg dangled by a thread. Ryan shut the door and locked it.
Never had any luck.
Nara started across the catwalk.
Come on, Ransom! You can make it! We can carry you!
I don't think so. I'm dead meat no matter which side of the passageway I'm on. If I stay here, at least I can do some good. Get some payback. Give me a tri-barrel for a backup. I'll keep them off you.
Ryan passed him the weapon, then gave his shoulder a squeeze.
Pleasure knowing you. It's mutual, Shadow Man.
Ryan crossed the narrow bridge. With Dam's and Nara's help, he managed to push the end of the catwalk off the path. It didn't tumble into the canyon as they'd hoped. The other end was held by hinges. The catwalk dropped to the vertical, crashing into the opposite side of the abyss, and hung there. Nara turned and ran for the tornado materializing in the middle of the pad. She vanished. Ryan dived after her. He didn't see the maw this time because he had his eye closed, but he felt the thunder down to his toes. Across a wide, lush meadow framed by tall evergreens, Ryan saw the glowing lights of the crude log cabin. Warm, yellow, inviting. They said home. Home at last. When he saw his companion step out onto the porch, smiling, he broke into a trot. Christy ran out to meet him, her beautiful hair flowing down around her shoulders. They kissed, and her lips were softer and warmer than he had ever thought possible. Then the others rushed up. Dean, Jack, Mildred, Doc, and JB. They took turns embracing him and slapping him on the back.
Come on inside, Ryan. We've got quite a meal laid out in honor of your return.
They took him through the wooden door. Beside the hearth was a table set for seven. On it was a huge haunch of smoked roast boar, pots of yams, stewed greens, jugs of dark ale, crusty bread.
Sit at the head of the table, dear boy.
Doc sharpened a carver on a steel. The old man attacked the juicy haunch, slicing it into thick slabs. Soon they were hard at it, laughing, eating, drinking. After the apple pies had been vanquished, as the brimming ale jug went around a last time, a sudden pall fell over the table. Ryan looked at his friends and saw the growing unease on their faces.
What's wrong?
JB waved him off, scraping back his chair. He started to get up, then slumped back down. He seemed perplexed.
Ugh. I feel decidedly queer.
Doc stuck out his tongue and wiped it on his white cloth napkin. He gawked at the result in horror.
Look! Look at this!
The napkin was green where he had touched it to his tongue. Mildred fell into a kind of fit. She clutched both hands to her throat and made sounds as if she were slowly strangling. Her eyes bugged out of their sockets. Then thin trickles of green started to leak out of her nostrils. Dean was bashing his forehead against the end of the table over and over, as if he were trying to beat in his own brains. Jack was gagging, green fluid gushing from his eyes.
What is it?
Ryan jumped to his feet. JB's swollen tongue protruded from between his teeth. It had become too big for his mouth to contain. Green slime drooled down his chin. Then Christy slumped forward onto her plate. He pulled her up at once. When he saw her face, his heart nearly stopped. Beads of green dew dotted her cheeks and forehead. Her eyes were wild and staring, and they wept green tears.
Was it something we ate?
Ryan swept the remains of the food off the table and onto the floor.
Why aren't I sick?
Christy's mouth moved. No sound came out. He put his ear close. Her breath smelled shockingly of ammonia.
Christy, why am I the only one who isn't sick?
She inhaled a deep, slow breath, summoning her strength.
Because you brought it with you. Oh.
She died in his arms a moment later. As Ryan threw back his head to scream his outrage,
no!
The room began to spin. His ears ringing with thunder, Ryan crashed onto his hands and knees. He dropped his head and began to heave. A tiny, detached part of him was aware that Nara and Dam were close by, and in the same condition that he was. He also knew they were surrounded by armed men in battle suits. He saw his friend standing huddled to one side. He wanted to jump up and go to their aid, but there was nothing he could do. He was helpless in the throes of nausea. Over and over, the spasms gripped him, unstoppable. When they finally calmed, he knelt there, forehead lowered to the ground, strands of vomit swaying from his chin.
Well, I guess I was wrong about your never seeing this one again.
Ryan recognized the voice. It belonged to the colonel. He raised his head from the dirt, put his hand to his stomach, and pretended to retch some more. As he did, his fingers dipped inside his pocket for the slap charge he had squirreled away. Ryan waited because he knew he was weakened and that he would only have one chance. When the colonel stepped a little closer, Ryan threw himself at the man. He grabbed him by the shoulder, turned him, then locked a forearm across the bottom of his helmet. The other black-armored men started to close in immediately.
What exactly do you think this is going to get you? You can't hurt me.
Maybe I can't, but this can.
Ryan showed him the AP charge, holding it right in front of his nose.
Lower your blasters or this guy's head is going to disappear.
Cook him.
Sir, I think he means it.
And I think he's bluffing. Take him out!
No, don't!